Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The candidates in the Massachusetts U.S. Senate race are making their final push before Tuesday's election. Last night, Republican Senator Scott Brown was in Wakefield, and Democrat Elizabeth Warren was in New Bedford.
Listen, this race is very simple. It's not about the socialists, which is why they are important. This race is about something very simple. It's about jobs and the economy.
If you care about equality for all of us, I ask you, get out there and work every single day. Talk to people. Make this happen. We're in this together.
Polls have shown it's neck and neck between the Republican Brown and the Democrat Warren. So this morning, we hear from our political analyst, Democrat Dan Payne, and Republican Todd Domke, about where think this race stands heading into the final weekend. Dan Payne goes first.
Well, it's close, but momentum seems to be on Warren's side. President Obama's going to win big here, and that's going to make it very difficult for Scott Brown.
Todd Domke, your take.
I'd say the bottom line is that Warren has a slight lead, but I don't think either candidate seem to have momentum. They've had these basic polling numbers for weeks.
If you're Elizabeth Warren and you're trying to seal the deal this weekend, last weekend of the campaign, what do you do? If you're Scott Brown and you're trying to play a little bit of catch-up, what do you do?
Well, Brown is at a disadvantage organizationally. His supporters are just as enthusiastic, but Brown doesn't have the party and union machinery that Warren does. And it's not as if some last-minute TV ad can propel him. At the end, it's all about publicity. So we'll see a lot of personal campaigning, and that'll be in addition to the phoning and canvassing.
Campaigns that need the final weekend to win over voters are in trouble. Voters who are undecided on Monday or Tuesday are not going to vote, and they certainly aren't going to be going to any last-minute campaign rallies.
The early and mid-campaign controversy over Elizabeth Warren's purported Native American heritage has pretty much disappeared toward the end of the campaign. And in fact, a recent Suffolk poll shows that voters trust Warren more to tell the truth. How did that happen? And in the end, did that whole controversy make a difference in this campaign?
Well, early on, it had her on the defensive, and Brown benefited from it, but he seemed to push too long on that particular issue. And then Brown's criticism of her later for the asbestos case seemed to backfire. That, I think, was the turning point. His negative tone and innuendo made Brown seem more like a typical politician rather than a nice guy, and that hurt the perception of his being trustworthy and truthful.
Well, Brown is really all over the place on abortion. I think that's hurt him. He has the endorsement of the state's largest anti-abortion group and the largest national Right to Life group did a mailing on Brown's behalf. And meanwhile, he's got TV spots saying that he's pro-choice. So he looks like a man divided. Voters have a good BS detector, and those detectors were flashing red when Brown's TV spots on abortion came on the air.
On the subject of advertising, both campaigns agreed early on that they would try to essentially ban outside groups from advertising here on their behalf, on radio, TV, on the web. But outside groups have used mailings and robocalls to try and influence the electorate. Clearly, if you're an independent voter, your mailbox has been flooded in the last couple of weeks by mailings from both Brown and Warren. Has the pledge worked? Was it a good idea?
Well, they did keep the really ugly stuff that Karl Rove and the Chamber of Commerce have been pouring into Senate campaigns against Democrats all over the country. It was a good idea, but as you point out, there was a big loophole. Direct mail and robocalls were available to third parties, and Rove and his allies attacked Warren behind the scenes. I don't see any evidence that it's worked, but they need to close that loophole in the future.
It's amazing how much money was spent to so little effect. Tens of millions on advertising time as well as other promotional efforts. But the ads were not very persuasive. Whoever loses, though, will regret signing the People's Pledge, thinking that perhaps that made the difference. But we'll never know if it benefited one over the other because we don't know what kind of ads would have run. And if those ads would have been more effective and in going negative than the candidates.
All right, let's wrap this up by talking about why these candidates might lose, should they lose. Todd, if Brown loses, why does he lose?
Well, if Brown loses, I think he made a mistake in trying to make this a popularity contest, attacking his opponent personally so often, rather than framing this as a choice between an independent trying to be bipartisan and an extremely partisan Democrat. He made a cynical calculation that undecided voters were so uninformed that they needed to see Elizabeth Warren as a caricature. But Brown had the time and money to make a case for himself at a higher level, explaining the benefits of electing an independent. It was a lost opportunity for Brown and for the state Republican Party.
And Dan Payne, if Elizabeth Warren loses, why does she lose?
Well, she had poorly directed and badly conceived TV spots for most of the campaign. It was only in the final few weeks that her ads stopped hurting her. Her campaign also decided to hide her from the news media. If you're running for office, statewide office, and maybe nationally one of the most significant races in the country, you do interviews. You don't just turn your back and say, well, we will or will not, and you stall and you alienate reporters and producers and columnists. That's simply not smart. If she loses, that'll be a big reason why.
Let's remember that this race started out with high expectations for an epic race between two leaders who would not practice politics as usual. Let's just say they did not exceed our expectations.
Well, it was the Seinfeld campaign. It was a campaign about nothing.
Well, we'll see what happens next week. Dan Payne, thanks a lot.
Always glad to help.
Same to you, Todd Domke.
Good to be with you, Bob.
You can read what both Dan and Todd are saying about the final days of this campaign on our website, WBUR.org, and they'll both be back on Tuesday night. Our special broadcast on the results starts at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night.